You are listening to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email, presented by Berkshire Community College.
Welcome to the first edition of This Podcast Could Have Been an Email, 2026. Jonah, Happy New Year. I think it's too late in the year to say Happy New Year, but maybe we're doing this on New Year's Day.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know when we recorded this, technically. And that could have been like a really long delay between recording and distribution, which there probably will be. This might air on like January 30th based on scheduling. So,
well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, right? Happy New Year.
2026, finally, we made it.
We did. And Happy New Year to Megan Lucier. I think I've yet to say we're kind of bummed out that this is our guest, but I have to say we're very excited to have Megan on as our first guest of 2026. This will play very well in the Barthatar household, where Megan is widely considered the most popular of Berkshire Community College Megans.
There's a lot of Berkshire Community College Megans, so that's
there
quite
is.
The high honor, especially in the Barthatar household.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
Yeah, that's great. How are you, Megan?
I'm doing well.
You're not nervous at all?
Slightly.
No, no sweat? No, you're all set?
Not yet.
All right, don't worry.
It's early.
It's very early. Yeah, we're just getting started. So, all right.
Well, it actually isn't January 1st. I think it's January 13th.
Yeah.
And it is the week before the start of a semester. So really very gracious of you to be here during probably one of your three or four busiest weeks of the year.
Absolutely. It is very busy down at the One Stop right now with new students coming, returning students coming. So lots happening in the area.
Yeah. Well,
it's really, I think that probably most of our listeners know who you are, though. We have a bunch of new people who have started working at BCC since faculty and students went on break. So let's just start out by introducing you, Megan. Who are you? Where are you from? How long have you been with the college? Why are you considered the Princess of Dalton?
I want to hear that in reverse order, though. No, I'm kidding. Please.
My name is Megan Lucier. I am the Director of Admissions here at the college. I started in July of 2023. Fun fact, my first day of work was actually walking the 4th of July parade. So that was very exciting, where I got to see the community, meet a lot of people, and then I started my real official first day the day afterwards, which was a Wednesday. I'm born and raised in Berkshire County.
Dalton.
Dalton.
Dalton, specifically.
Ooh, nice T in Dalton. I like
I
that.
I know. Wow. Most people pronounce it as Dalton, not
no,
Dalton.
It's Dalton. Yeah. It's Dalton, like mountain. Dalton. Yeah,
Dalton.
Anyway.
I'm not from here, so I say Dalton, but I...
Most people drop the T.
I know,
the
I'm
T.
aware.
Yeah, there's no T, it's just Dalton.
Went to Wakona Regional High School. Worked in the county at one of our sister university institutions for about 7 years, MCLA up in North Adams, and landed here in July of 2023 when there was a position open for the Director of Admissions. And I was so excited to, you know, expand my horizons, go for a leadership role after working for 7 years. And so I jumped on the opportunity, hoped for the best, and here we are.
And it's gone all right so far.
So far, I mean, yeah. There's some bets that have been placed that, you know, haven't come to fruition yet. So you still got time. So,
right. Well, you're stuck with me.
That's true. How many years you have in the system?
Ooh.
At least? I know you have less fewer than me, so.
20-ish?
20, I'm 22, for sure. So
yeah.
We'll retire at the same time.
Perfect.
We'll go on a cruise together.
Oh, amazing.
Where do you think you'll go?
I want to go up. Can we go to, like, Newfoundland?
You Alaska?
You want to go south.
Alaska?
That's why we have to go on the other side of the country for that. I'm not flying to Alaska to get on a boat.
I've heard that the Alaska cruises are pretty amazing.
I know, but it's like such a... I don't want to fly all the way over there just to get on a boat to go around. Come on. No.
We could do Bermuda up to Canada.
That sounds aggressive.
Well, you're retired. You have nothing but time.
That's true, actually. That's nothing to do at all.
That's true.
If we're around.
Yeah.
So that got dark. Sorry, it's 2026, everyone. It's exciting. Good things are happening.
So, Megan, for those who don't know what people who work in admissions do, could you kind of walk us through what that is? Megan and I share that we both started our careers. I started my careers working in admissions. I've moved on to other things, but you've kind of stayed in it.
I'm a lifer.
But for folks who listen to this who don't fully understand what admissions officers do, or maybe their kind of idea is an institution where you're really selective and you're making decisions about who to let in and not. What does admissions look like here at Berkshire Community College?
Yeah, so like I said, I started off my career at MCLA, which was a four-year state university, and I transitioned to a two-year institution, which admissions practices are similar in the sense that the goal is to admit a student to campus. Both of them are state institutions where access is a big thing for both of us. And so the concept of getting students to college is the same, but the act of admitting students is slightly different. At a four-year school, you have an admissions process that you have to go through. And most often than not, you're recruiting current high school students looking to go on off to a four-year school after they graduated. Whereas in the community college world, you have a whole host of students who are either similarly high school students looking to go to two-year schools, a student who maybe took a break, a student who is changing career paths, a student who's never attended school ever before, and they're looking to come for the very first time. And I think that's the beauty of community college, where so many different students are at different points in their lives, and we get to help assist them through that process of what that might look like for them. But the act of applying is similar. You apply to the college, you submit a transcript of some kind, we admit you, we get you registered for classes, and we go through the enrollment process with you. Admissions counselors, what our role is twofold. One, we recruit students to campus. So we go and meet students where they're at, whether that is at their high school or out and about in the community for our students who have decided to come to us after graduation or years beyond or career changes. And then we also have the side where we walk students through talking to them about, they come to us and say, I have an idea to do X. And we talk about all the different variations of programs that will help them decide which path is the right one to get to their career aspirations. And so we kind of help guide students through their education journey.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. So I had this experience when I worked in admissions, and sometimes now too, when you have a conversation with someone who has a pretty good idea of a maybe an idea of a job that they want to do, but connecting what academic pathway might lead to that job is something that you have to kind of become well-versed in.
Absolutely. We do a really great job of connecting with some of our program advisors or on the academic side of the house to get a real sense of what they are offering to the students in the classroom side, so that way we can tell the story on the admission side to tell them this is exactly what you can get out of this program to end up in this career.
Do you think that there are particular personality traits or skills that position a person to do this particular kind of work well?
Oh, absolutely. I've been in this now for probably almost 10 years working in the admissions world, and we have definitely seen the extroverted, exuberant, high energy, bubbly personality tends to be the quote unquote typical personality of somebody who works in admissions. But we'd also see a lot of people who are a little bit more like mellow and chill and can walk somebody step by step through the process on a very calm level that some students like and appreciate, because they might be nervous going through the process for the first time or going through the process again many years later. And so helping them guide them through their journey at a little bit of a slower pace is also beneficial as well.
Oh, that's great. So that gets us to our first commercial break, and please stick with us, and we'll be right back with more of this podcast. Could have been an email after this.
The next Berkshire State of Work Summit is focused on its signature series called AI for Marketing, taking place on Tuesday, February 3rd in K-111, brought to you by the Workforce and Community Education Department. This dynamic three-part workshop brings together experts in digital strategy, algorithm-ready content, and AI-powered design to help marketers create smarter, faster, and more effective campaigns. This event is filling up quick, so grab your tickets at berkshirecc.edu/summit today. Full disclosure, I asked Gemini to write this last script, so if you don't like it, you can blame Alphabet, aka Google.
Welcome back to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email. During the break, we were talking about how at this year's Golden Globes, they gave away the first Golden Globe for a podcast. We didn't win, Jonah.
Yeah, I was disappointed. I didn't know that there was a nomination for podcasts, nor did I submit any paperwork to get us nominated, nor do I know anyone in Hollywood. But I was disappointed that we didn't win. So
yeah, I read about it after the Golden Globes had happened. We lost Amy Poehler. Which,
oh, heavens to Betsy. Listen to her. That's wicked good.
It
huh?
was, It was. I mean, go look it up. I can't remember everyone, but it was smart. I mean, it it was a tough category. Yeah. I think we probably came in sixth or seventh.
Sixth or seventh. Yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Most likely.
I don't think people actually understand the high level of technical acumen that one needs to run this particular podcast. And I say actually that there is some jest in that, but we couldn't do what we do without Schwa and Alzi.
Yeah, literally. I mean, I've been doing this now. We've been doing this now for over a year, and I still have no idea what I'm doing. Every single time I sit at this booth, I'm like, Alzi, what button do I press next? I literally don't know. She has to show me where the mute button is. I have no clue. And it's been over a year, so you think I would have learned something.
But I would love to get this like recorded on TV sometime so people could literally see Alzi like push our head that we're like looking, we're putting our voices into the microphone. We are back with Megan Lucier, our director of admissions, and Megan was talking about one of the transitions from a four-year school into a two-year school, and a big part of the difference is that this isn't true at all four-year institutions, but many the target recruitment age is a senior in high school. But I think that not only is that not necessarily true for BCC, at the moment you joined us, we had also were just getting Mass Reconnect, which was the free community college for 25 and older. In fact, I think when I offered you the job or we interviewed, we talked about how it might come and it hadn't been announced yet.
Yeah, it was about a month later. I started in July and it was announced like probably mid-August. And I was like, alrighty, time to get people in for the fall semester 2 weeks later.
Yeah, something like August 5th or 8th or something. And then like we rolled it out on like the 13th or something. And classes started like, what, September 3rd or 4th?
Something
or
like that. Right. Yeah. And I have often and will always give Megan kind of an enormous amount of credit. In fall 2022 to our fall 2025 numbers, Jonah and I were just looking at it this morning. We're up over 50%.
Yep.
And yes, we were given some tools, but one of the tools that we were given or one of the levers we got to pull was your leadership in admissions. And
take all the credit. Put it on your resume. Make sure you put that in your performance evaluations for the next several years to come.
Absolutely.
Because then you keep consistent.
Okay, well, yeah, that's...
Yeah, no pressure.
Good luck.
But I think the other thing that happened right when you came into the institution was that we had made the decision to purchase a CRM. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that people are around campus have kind of heard us talk about a CRM and what that means, but maybe just give, you know, take a minute and explain what a CRM
is. Absolutely. So CRM stands for Customer Relation Management. It's a tool that many institutions and also companies and businesses across utilize to help keep their clients or students kind of like in a centralized location. So that way we can evaluate and process in our case, admission applications. And so our CRM is an Ellucian product called Recruit. So we got it to talk seamlessly with Colleague, which is our student information system. And so students apply through the CRM and we can track students through various different ways. We can look at whether they submitted a transcript, when they applied. We can sort by what schools that they attended, what graduation years. Are they a transfer student? Are they re-admit? Are they coming to us for the first time? So help us kind of decipher where the student is at in their own personal admissions funnel. And it's a way and tool to organize. And when a student is submitted and their information is all set, we kind of send it over. And so it's a seamless process to get student information from one system to another.
And also it serves as kind of the way that we can communicate with students through that process as well.
Yeah, we can set up communication plans where they get automatic emails based on the buckets a student falls into, whether it's a certain program or if a certain point in the application process, whatever that might be, they can get targeted emails based off of how they answer the questions on the application.
So like theoretically, if I was a faculty member and I was sitting in my office listening to this or driving home and listening to this podcast and I was thinking about ways that I might want to recruit and grow enrollment in my program, theoretically, they could work with your team and put something together for students who had indicated an interest in a particular program.
Absolutely. And what's great about a CRM tool, we are currently, I believe, in year two and a half of having the system. And it's not just something you, like, you implement and leave. It's something that you grow and change as the years go on, which is the beauty of a CRM system. So that way, if a faculty member is sitting here and listening to this podcast and they had the aha moment of, I would love to send Megan or the missions team a prompt, so that way we can target a program of students, we can do that. We can set it up. We can get it going. And it's something we can create and change as we go on, as the years go on.
So I have a senior and a junior in high school, both of whom are kind of in the admissions funnel. And I think we're getting a lot of this information. They're getting a lot of emails. I think 70% of the paper mail that comes to our house is from colleges, you know, sending their view books or postcards about us coming to visit, or the kids thinking about those institutions. And I think one of the things that has become really apparent to me is how education is financed is pretty confusing. So if you look it up, there's a number. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't have anything to do with what I'm going to spend. And also there's pressure once I'm the parent in this situation, but once you're admitted to an institution, that you pay a deposit, so you hold your seat. Could you talk about our process?
Yeah, so at a two-year school, there's no deposit for a student to hold their seat in a class. How we determine a student getting, quote-unquote, deposited into their class year or their start semester is really if we've created a way, because we've updated our admissions process, that students now have to submit either a high school transcript, equivalency, or a college or college transcripts that equate to 60 credits or more, basically associate's level or higher. That allows us to get a gauge point of, is the student committed to coming to school or not, because through this process. And this also, we combated this with fraud as well, because when Free Community College got announced, out came fraud students and fraud applicants who are trying to get federal financial money through the process, because in order to get Free Community College, you have to apply for the FAFSA. And it's a last dollar amount award given to students. And so this was a way for us to determine whether or not a student was legitimate when they were going through the application process. But essentially, if a student submits something to us, we know that they're probably serious about coming to school. And then when they get to campus and register for classes, in our eyes, that's a deposit, because they actually took the step to come and register for classes. And that's the goal that we want to get students to get here to register for classes. We know that not all students stick to that registration, but what's great is all the members in the One Stop are here for students, whether it's their time to go to school or maybe they decided maybe not just yet. We can shift and alter. We can make it into a program or a semester that they are ready for.
That's great. Thanks so much. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Megan about how she's got the nicest handwriting I've ever seen.
You're listening to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email from Berkshire Community College.
Hey, in case you hadn't heard, Scholars Day is fast approaching. It's taking place across campus on Wednesday, February 4th. Mark your calendars and come out to support faculty, staff, and students. Don't miss the presentation called Cluck Around and Find Out, featuring full-size Brahmas. Scholars Day is a conference-style event to honor and learn from the scholarly, creative, and assessment work all of us do, faculty, staff, and students. It is a combination of the Undergraduate Scholars Conference that the college has held for many years with presentations from faculty and staff. Learn more at berkshirecc.edu/scholarsday.
And we are back with our third segment with Megan Lucier. Megan, for people who work here who don't know you particularly well, mm-hmm. I think it's kind of cool when we've got people that we work with. I'm a transplant. The two of you grew up here, but it's kind of fun to hear about your background and how you grew up in Berkshire County. What was young Megan like?
Ooh, young Megan.
This is being recorded.
And how did you develop the perfect handwriting? I like literally have the worst handwriting in the world. Yeah. And the first time I met Megan, she wrote something and I was like, if I hire you and I ever have to handwrite something, you're writing all of it.
Yep.
And to this day, if we have to write something on the whiteboard, I'm like, Megan.
I don't know where my nice handwriting came from, but I'm very grateful for it because it is really pretty. If I want patting myself on my own back. Uh-huh. So young Megan. Well, during my interview process and shortly after coming to BCC, and you know, Adam knows the story very well. If you asked 17-year-old Megan if she would have lived in Berkshire County at this point in her life and or been working at BCC, I would have laughed.
Yep.
I was very much like, get me out of small town living. I want to go to the city. Get me to Boston as soon as humanly possible. So life, as we're talking about college, I applied to four-year institutions. I wanted to get that four-year experience personally. And I was kind of applying anywhere and everywhere. The one thing that my parents did tell me is like, you can apply wherever you want, but you must apply to at least one state university in Massachusetts to kind of see where the financials lie. And speaking of financials, and that's how I ended up at Westfield State University. My parents sat me down, shared with me my top three schools based off of their financial aid packages. And Westfield State was arguably the most affordable one for me to go to. So I went to Westfield State, ended up being a communication major. I went to an open house at a different institution and learned about communication and major and how you could be on MTV one day. And I was like, sign me up.
TRL. Yeah.
What a timely reference. For those of you under the age of 30, MTV used to be this thing on TV where you would watch it and they would play music videos. And yeah. I think it was put to rest
maybe
at the end of
40, right? Under the age of 45.
Well, you're
maybe.
Both under the age
yeah,
of 40.
I'm under the age of 40. I mean, yeah, there was a period there in the 90s with VH1 and MTV would compete for mm-hmm. their music videos. But then it really turned into reality television thanks to Real World and The Challenge.
If you grew up, when I grew up, you spent an enormous amount of time watching MTV.
Yeah.
So I was like, sold, gonna go work there. So ended up being a communication major and kind of went through college in all 4 years. And I got to my senior year where I took a professional communication course. It was elective in my program. And you went through and explored the different careers that you could do within communication. But during my time, I was like, I'm going to be a TV news anchor. I'm going to be a wedding planner. Found out they don't make that much money.
But you're kind of being a wedding planner right now anyway. Uh-huh.
Absolutely. It's great.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Very excited.
For folks who don't know the context, Megan got engaged and we're all very, very, very excited. So congratulations.
Yes.
Moving on. Okay.
Thank you. And then I did an internship actually my senior year. I needed 12 credits left to graduate, for my total credit load, but I completed all my course requirements for my program. And so I ended up doing a 12-credit internship with the alumni office of school. And that was my aha moment where you can actually work in higher education. And I went through 4 years of college not realizing everybody who I met in advising and career development and all these other, like working in the equipment room. These are their people's full-time jobs working at a college. I was like, how cool, going to college forever.
Right.
And so after that, I started looking for different careers in higher education. And I found most of the things I was interested in was alumni, because that was my only experience, was master required positions. And so I started looking at grad programs. And that's how I ended up at Merrimack College for a year-long grad program. And I did a fellowship there where I was an academic counselor for students who, essentially a bridge program, was called the Compass program, where students who in their admission process showed potential, but they didn't quite have the GPA to be fully admitted to the college. So they went through like this year long temporary program where I kind of coached students through like time management, basically what people in our academic success coaches do here at BCC is essentially what I did in my grad program. And so when I graduated, I was looking at alumni, I was looking at advising, and my dad, who was also the one who pointed out being a communication major, said, oh, there's an admissions counselor position opened up at MCLA. You might want to try to apply for that. And so lo and behold, that's how I ended up in the world of admissions, by getting that entry level position. I've worked my way up into that point. And that's kind of like how I ended up staying in Berkshire County was on a whim of, I'm going to try this for a year and see how I like it. And I fell in love with talking with people, working with people, seeing how they wanted to go on their educational journey. And that still continues to this day in the role that I'm in right now.
You strike me as somebody who likes to kind of explore somebody else's dream and help them figure out how to do it.
Absolutely.
What I do enjoy is, similarly, I was not necessarily trying to get out of the Berkshires. I'm a huge mama's boy. I was never leaving far. But I applied to BU, and I got into BU, and I was going to go to Boston University, and got scared. And I applied to UMass, got into UMass, and I was going to go to UMass, got scared, and decided, you know what, I'm just going to go up the street to MCLA because I'm too scared to leave home, and I want to come home every weekend to have my mom do my laundry, which she did. But you did the same thing. You made it as far as Westfield, a little further than me, though. I made it up to the streets in North Adams. You made it to Westfield. Our dreams are the big city. You know, maybe not necessarily, but
I did have a small stint living in Central Mass for a little bit, and then
Central Mass. What part?
Like Worcester area.
Okay, so that's the biggest city that you've lived.
Other than Merrimack, when I went to grad school, like
was that when you flipped the RV?
Yeah. So like that, shortly after I did my short little stint in the Worcester area, I came back to the Berkshires after living there for almost a year. I decided I wanted to come back to the Berkshires, and that's when I bought a mobile home. And I flipped a mobile home.
What I do love about this podcast recording is that we keep dropping little Easter eggs throughout the entire podcast where people are like, wait, what are you talking about later on? We're not going to give you too much context. We're going to be like something interesting about Megan you didn't know and then immediately move on. And so we'll see how people approach you in the hall after this airs.
I just love the idea that somebody who kind of knows Megan, like has been in one or two meetings with her, and they're like, she's so organized and she seems to have like a strategy for everything. And also she flipped a mobile home.
Flipped the mobile home, yep. Yes. Exactly. When you told me that, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. This makes no sense. I never would have foresaw that. But then the story is pretty phenomenal. You have to ask her in person. Now we're going to move on. So,
Megan, we're at the end of this segment, but quickly, you know, as you kind of imagined your future when you were in your graduate program, did you think then, and do you think now, that your values align pretty well with community college work?
Oh, absolutely. When I was in my grad program, you went through the history of higher ed, and then you also talked about like your philosophy and your mission statement, as was one of our assignments that we did. And so basically my mission for college was access, allowing students the opportunity to get an education, help people find their fit and what does that look like for them. And conveniently enough, that's the essence of BCC here and what everybody believes in. And it's great to be working with similarly like-minded people. And it just makes the job and every day so much better to come to work for.
This podcast could have been an email, and we'll be right back for our final segment.
The BCC Spring Open House is taking place on Saturday, April 4th at 9 a.m. in the Susan B. Anthony Lounge. This annual event invites prospective students to campus to learn about applying to the college, completing their FAFSA, learning more about free community college, getting a college tour, and meeting with their potential faculty as they explore the world of higher education. And may I please remind you that it does not say RSVP on the Statue of Liberty. We do encourage folks to register for this event, so please spread the word and tell folks to visit berkshirecc.edu/openhouse to sign up.
All right, we are back with This Podcast Could Have Been an Email. Megan, thank you so much for being on. I know you were a little nervous, but it's harmless, right?
Yeah, it's not too bad. Yeah,
it's pretty fun. So as we close, what is your favorite thing about BCC or the Berkshires?
Oh, there's a lot to pick and choose from. I will say my favorite thing about BCC is Ajay named a sandwich after me at Brooks Cafe.
Oh my God, what kind is it?
It is a BLT with red onion, chipotle aioli on sourdough. Highly recommend
I've had it. It's awfully good.
Yeah, so shout out to Ajay for giving me a sandwich named after me.
That's great. And if Lori Gordy is listening, I'm sure you could have a conversation with him about a vegan bacon.
I was going to say, because I don't eat meat either.
That's true.
So that would be, I'm sure there is. I could bring some in too, but All right.
Berkshires, I just love how, and again, I didn't appreciate this growing up, and Jonah could probably attest to this too, is there's so much to do, but when you're in your little town growing up, you don't realize how much there is to
do. You really don't.
And that's the beauty of being now an adult in the Berkshires, where you have a car and you can drive around and check things out. Or if you don't have a car, there is the B bus that will take you to and from places across the county. So I think that's really cool. Like, you get to experience other little subdivisions of the county as an older adult. So I like to golf, and I like to go skiing and
run.
I like to run sometimes. I run in the Harvest Run. That's basically about it. I don't know. My fiance might be getting me to sign up for the half marathon steel rail race.
Nice. Ooh.
We'll see.
You got to wear a BCC shirt if you
do. Yes. That's the new rule for anyone running anywhere in the Berkshires has to wear
BCC. I'll have to go to the
gear.
BCC swag store.
They have some nice running shirts. What are you currently reading or watching, or what's a hobby that you want to share?
Ooh. So over the winter break, I read Freda McFadden's The Housemaid series. So there was three books and they're a little novella. So I finished that, watched the movie, highly recommend doing both. I'm currently reading, I'm going to start A Good Girl's Guide to Murder by Holly Jackson. So that's a three book series too. If you haven't noticed, I like psychological thrillers as my theme of books.
Sounds fun.
And I just started The Pit last night on HBO.
Oh my God. I binged that 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I'm on episode 6 and I started last night.
Oh my God. You're not, it's just wait. Ah. Oh my God.
Like, oh really? So I haven't watched
Colin it. Colin started watching it at episode 6 because he was like, why are you still watching this? I was binging it the whole break. And then he started watching it at episode 6 and he's like, can we watch another one? Like it gets so good.
It
gets so good. Which is why I won't watch the season until they're all out because I need to binge them. So I have to like wait 10 weeks before I can watch The Pit. But oh my God, I had no idea.
Carrie and I watch one show at a time. So Carrie, I guess we know what our next show is.
Oh my God.
Carrie does actually listen to the podcast.
So. Okay, good. Yeah, Carrie, listen with The Pit. You're going to love it. It's so good. It's phenomenal.
And I just over break, I watched some like limited series that was on Netflix too. It was like Him and Hers and The Beast in Me. So also.
I just finished The Beast in Me last night, actually. Oh. Yeah, we just finished that.
Very good.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. That was fun.
Good twist.
Yeah, oh my God, it was fun. Yeah.
Well, Megan, thank you again for being on our podcast. We've really enjoyed having you. I do want to wish everybody a really happy new year. And in real time, we're going to have Welcome Back tomorrow and Orientation on Thursday. Then we'll start a new semester. And this is the beginning of a new semester is always super exciting. But I also just want to own the fact that it's been a really tough start to 2026 across the world. There's a lot of really dark things happening. And as people listen to the podcast know, I come from Minnesota. I was in Minneapolis over the holiday break. I don't want to make this a political statement, but, a citizen of the United States, Renee Good, lost her life. And we continue to have political divide in the country. And I think we're really lucky to be at an institution where we can have open and free dialogue, where people can feel safe, where they can take care of one another. But also there are moments where things are kind of dark. And I want to just take a moment to encourage you to take advantage of the resources that you have, either through HR to get help, to take advantage of the person in the office next to you or the folks that you work with. I think we have an incredibly supportive community, and just take care of one another. So let's hope that the rest of 2026 is much brighter and that we continue to find light and joy. Jonah, I'm done talking. Any last words?
No last words, except that thank you for listening to the first episode of the year of 2026 of this podcast. Could have been an email from Berkshire Community College. Special thanks to my co-host, Adam Klepetar, who makes this podcast happen and is dedicated to keeping the people entertained and informed. Special thanks to fellow lifer, Megan Lucier, who puts the mission in admissions. As always, special thanks to Alzi Mercado, who is the greatest technical theater director at BCC, and Dave Cachet at PCTV for giving this podcast a chance in the vast landscape beyond. As always, and as if I could forget, thank you, dear listener, for keeping the hope of a better tomorrow alive by tuning in to this wee production at your community college. My name is Jonah Sykes, and thank you for listening to this podcast. Could have been an email from Berkshire Community College.